I do thank Jesus, for he died on the cross, shed his blood, that we could be free from sin. Thank the Lord. I praise God this morning. I'm so happy and so blessed. I thank the Lord. You know, the enemy, he likes to fight us with anything, I guess. But I know God gave me a message this morning. I'm one of his handmaidens. I'm one of his prophetesses. It's in the Bible. I praise him this morning for salvation. The songs went with this message, everything, free from sin. There is power in being free from sin, saints. It's so wonderful. I was talking to Sister Linda a little bit, brushing my teeth in there. You know, we can have some good spiritual conversations in there. But I said, you know, when I come on this campgrounds, I remember and I have a memory when I was 19 years old. In 1972, I came on these campgrounds. I got saved when I was 18. I was delivered completely from sin. And November 15th, we got married. And see, Jerry was saved on November 10th. I tell you, the devil doesn't want to hear about this. But I tell you what, God is greater than the devil. He said, who is in you is greater than the enemy. The power of God and the Holy Ghost is greater, and that's what keeps us from sin. And I know many of us here are free from sin, but it can help you to stay free from sin. It can help you all the way till you draw your last breath. Even older people can be tempted. Older people can be discouraged or anything. The enemy doesn't give up on none of us. But you know what? We are kept by the power of God. And I tell you, when I walked on the campgrounds, I wasn't raised with the saints. It was amazing, marvelous in my eyes, awesome. I don't know of all the words I can bring. There's no words to describe when I found the saints. I was so happy. I had been praying for the right church. I've been praying that God would lead me. And through my husband, he knew the family of God. That's how I met my husband. We weren't saved. But God used him to bring me to the saints. I've never left the saints. I've never backslid. I've kept free from sin all my life. I give God all that glory. I'm going to give all the glory to God. I'm not giving to myself. I couldn't be saved without Jesus. But he shed his blood in 1970s. I was a worldly young girl at 18. But I gave my heart to the Lord, and he marvelously saved me from sin. Cleansed me completely. I never wanted to go back in sin. I never wanted to serve the devil anymore. I was done with the devil. In fact, even before I got saved, I wanted to be done with him. And I remember walking in my living room at home, and I was seeking God. I couldn't find the right church. I was getting down a little bit about it because I said, I know, Lord, that you've got a church somewhere, a right church that teaches free from sin. Who told me that I was the Lord? I said, I tried to go to church somewhere, and I was praying and trying to get saved and live free from sin, and they wanted me just to praise the Lord. And I said, no, I came here. I want to praise the Lord, of course, but I want to get saved. I want to get redeemed from sin first, you know, and I want to get saved. And so I quit. I never went back there. I kept praying, Lord, you've got a church somewhere. Lord, put it in my heart. You got a church somewhere, Lord. You got a church that teaches free from sin, and not just teach it, but we live it. And all the songs we sang this morning, the specials, all kind of went that way. And even the glorified song about a roof up above me and all the good things that God's done for us. We couldn't have all those blessings if it wasn't free from sin. Like Sister Roberta's saying about her, she had this girl that sang, had deliverance, a sister. She got delivered from depression or whatever, any kind of sin, depression, discouragement, anything. Jesus can set you free. His blood is powerful. It's so powerful that soon I'll be 72 years old and I'll October, Lord willing, if I live till then, and God has kept me free from sin. I have a testimony. I have not sinned. I made some mistakes, and this is why I say, a mistake is not a sin. And you can get the victory, and you go to God, and you ask the Lord to forgive you. You had a wrong attitude, or you spoke to someone not very nice, or something like that. That, I don't believe, is sin. It could be sin if you just let it go and continue that way, but you don't have to do that. Like we heard last night about being proactive. Well, I guess that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm being proactive in the calling that God gave me. And someone said to me one time, I'd rather die than be a preacher. And I want to tell you, I didn't know how to answer that. I just looked at them, and I never did answer. But I've been thinking about that a long time about it. I'd rather die than be a preacher. And I thought, well, you know what? I would have died spiritually if I hadn't been a preacher, because the Lord told me that. He said, you're going to go backwards if you don't consecrate to this calling I've given you. And that's why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it for any other reason. I'm not doing it for show. I'm not trying to do it for any other reason. Most of the ministers in the beginning really didn't want to be preachers. But God called them. God called them, and God dealt with them, and God let them know, if God gives you a calling, you will go backslide, and you will get in trouble with God if you don't yield to that calling. And there's many callings, not just the ministry has five, if you read there, I believe it's in Galatians, but there's five, and it talks about apostles and prophets, and then evangelists and pastors and teachers, and then there's helps in the church, and all these, they make up the church, and we're all different, but we're all used of God. We're all used of God in our calling, and you need to be free from sin and keep free from sin. The song says we are kept by the power of God. I look at back over my life, and I tell you, saints, when you get older, you do that a lot. You look back over, especially when you're here and you have the memories of being young and having the memories of all the older ministers that have passed away and things. And I think, Lord, how did I do this? I'm giving glory to God, not me. But I'm telling you, I thought, how have I stayed saved through life and the hard things in life and the different things that come our way, you know, sickness and distress, all kinds of problems can come. I don't care how good a family you got. I don't care how wonderful your life is, which my life has been wonderful. It's been blessed. I praise God for my life. I praise God for my husband and my children and grandchildren. But even then, you have problems. They have problems, and you pray for them. You're concerned about them. But through it all, I've learned to trust in God, and He has always kept me saved. Through it all, I never wanted to backslide, never had a desire to backslide, never was tempted on being to backslide. I really didn't want to. One time, I'll say this, I did have one time of temptation when we first got, forgive me for saying that, because I was first got saved, and Jerry told me so many things that we had to do in the church, you know, and I didn't know none of them, and he told me all these things, and it sounded so strict, it sounded so hard, and the devil took advantage of me. He said, you know, it's just Jerry, I hadn't met the saints yet, I was up in Michigan, he said, it's just Jerry's family, it's just their ideas, they're too strict, and you don't want this way, and the devil worked on me. One day, I said, you know what, I think I'm gonna quit this. And Jerry had some pants. I said, Jerry, Mike, I'm going to wear your pants today. I only was gone, only have to, a couple hours this happened to me. And Jesus kept his hand on me, and I wept and prayed like Peter. I said, I don't want these pants anymore. I'm saved. It's not just your family. God has really saved me. And I wear my dresses from now on, Lord. I wear my skirts from now on. So I only just a couple hours there. The devil came after me strong. You know, he'll come after you and tell you all kinds of lies. And you know, he's a liar and the father of lies. I went back over to Jerry's mother's that day. I said, it just happened a few hours. And I repented and I asked God to forgive me. And I don't think I ever backslid truly because God kept his hand on me. I can't explain it. But it was like the devil just had such temptation on me. You know what I mean? Accusing me and telling me lies But the Lord gave me victory and I never went back. I've never backslid. I've never wanted to. God's kept me free. Almost 54 years I've been free from sin. I testified that. That's a big testimony, I know. But it's only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. And I got some scriptures here, but first I wanted to read this. Being free from sin is a powerful promise found in the Bible. Do not feel trapped by your mistakes or your wrong choices in life. God offers hope and a way to break free. You can have a fresh start of forgiveness with God. And saints, I want to say, if you're accused because you make a mistake, go to the Lord. Go to him right away and ask him to forgive. But the world and the world, they get this confused of you can't live free from sin because all these things you do and the mistakes you make and stuff like this. But that's a mistake. It's not. I remember one time years ago, and I'm not putting this on other people, but I was in Michigan, and Jerry's grandmother had a lot of faith, and she encouraged me to have children at my children, my last two, not my first daughter, but the other two at home. And we had insurance to pay for all of it. And you might think I was silly to do it. But, you know, I'm not going to say God was with me in a powerful way, saints. He was with me in a powerful way. He healed me. I'm not going to go into detail, but I could have died with a second child. And God healed me right there. It was powerful. If any of you sisters want to ask me, I'll tell you what happened. Powerfully healed me right there. And it just seemed like, saints, sometimes we have to get to the 11th hour or the 12th, almost midnight, in our trial sometimes when we see God work a miracle. But we have to be willing to have faith in him and trust in him to get these miracles, you know. And then the song comes to me, it was a miracle when he saved my soul. Jerry's grandmother used to sing that to me. She was my mentor. And my little personal pastor, what she was. We got saved in her house. And she used to say, it took a miracle to save my soul. It took a miracle to cleanse me whole. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle to hang the stars in the sky. It took a miracle to set the moon in place, to create all these animals and create us and all the things God did. But it was the greatest miracle when he saved my soul from sin and set me free. Praise God. It's wonderful. It's glorious. It's powerful. And it's kept me saved all these years. That's what I'm amazed about. How did I do it? It was the blood of Jesus that's through my soul. And I not only got saved, I got baptized. And I remember Brother Murphy Allen. You know Brother Murphy Allen? Some of you children here, probably his children, grandchildren. Murphy Allen baptized Jerry and I up there in Michigan. Yes, dear Brother Murphy Allen. You know, God baptized us, and then I need to be sanctified. And I tell you, saints, some things were going so fast, I wasn't raised with, I didn't have the teaching. And so I said, Lord, please give me a song about baptism so I know what I'm doing. And God helped me open the song about the watery grave, you know. It's not that the water cleanses, you're already cleansed, but it's a testimony that you go down into the water and you're going to come out and you're going to be a new creature for God. It's a testimony. It's an ordinance that the water don't wash your sins the way the blood did. But it's an ordinance that we must obey I'm cleaned up from sin. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to come and I'm going to be a new creature from now on. And I'm not going back on the Lord. That's what that means. And then I need to be sanctified. One day, I was driving along. I'll get to the scriptures here. But I was driving along, and I was listening to some music, and I don't know what kind of music. I tell you, saints, what I've liked is the old Goldies. And I'm old anyway. I'm older. But I like the old Goldies. And I don't know what I was listening to, but... And some of them are just love songs. It wouldn't hurt you. I mean, really. But, you know, you don't dwell on that. I mean, you love the hymns. You love that more than these things. You might have a little love. You might even be saved and sanctified and have a little love for that. You just don't let it go. You don't do that. You don't go after it. But that day, I was listening to it in the car, and I was going after it. Something. When I got home, the Lord dealt with me. He said, you're going to do that stuff? You're going to do that stuff and get drifting away from Jesus? I said, no. And he started dealing with me. I got down. I prayed. And something else happened in my life, and I was just needing God. I hadn't even been taught about sanctification. I didn't even understand it. But I decided I'm going to get by this kitchen chair tonight about 2 in the morning. I am going to pray until I get power with God. I don't want to backslide. And so I got down. I said, Lord, you've done too much for me. This is a religious, righteousness, religious experience that I have got a hold of. I have been saved and redeemed from sin. I know. And I don't want to give it up. And I don't want to backslide. So I need more power from you, dear God. I need some more power. I didn't even know, understand everything. You know, Brother Warner, to a man one time, he said, Brother Warner, I can't get sanctified because I don't have the brains for it. He said, Brother, it doesn't take brains. I'll tell you what it takes. It takes a consecration of your life to God and being serious with God. And get down and say, Lord, I need more power with you. I'm not doing just right. I need some help. And you know, all of a sudden, I felt like angels came in the room. God poured his Holy Spirit through me. I was sanctified. I never doubted it. I was sanctified and kept the Holy Spirit all this time, has kept me by the power of God, and he keeps you. You know what I'm talking about. If you're saved and sanctified this morning, you know what I'm talking about. It keeps you from the devil. It keeps you from sin. It keeps you from everything that the enemy tried to tempt you with. You can't call me. There's a song that young people sing sometimes. There's nothing that calls within. You can't call me, sinner. You can't call me to your drinking and your cigarettes and your movies and your whatever you got to offer you. I have no call in there. There's nothing in there except Jesus only. There's nothing left. When I was a teenager, I liked to go to the fairs, and I'd ride the bullet. And you know what the bullet is? It's kind of like a straight, I don't know if they have it anymore, straight up and down. And it just twirl you around and around and around. And it would just be wild. I thought that was so fun, and it just shook me up. And, you know, I thought it was so fun, but when Jesus saved my soul, I had no desire for the bullet no more. I had no desire for the roller coaster. And if you want to get on the roller coaster, at your own risk. I'm not getting on the roller coaster no more. I could maybe have a heart attack. I tell you what, we don't need those things anymore. I'm not trying to be too hard on the young people. I know you love some of these things. But you know, Jesus can help you to get the victory. We don't need some of these things. We need to seek after God. You know, he'll save you. He'll save you no matter where you're at. He'll save your life. He'll save your life. He'll be good to you. Oh, I thank the Lord this morning for salvation. It's so rich. It's so rich to me. I'm telling you what, wealth, anything, poverty, anything, it doesn't, none of those things move you. You know what? Me and Jerry first got married. We didn't hardly have anything. We didn't hardly have any money to get to the camp meeting. And you know what? Somebody sent us an envelope full of money so we could get to Guthrie. I don't know today who that was. And it wasn't a check. It was cash. It was full cash in this envelope. I'd been praying we could come to the Guthrie camp meeting. We needed some encouragement. It was in Michigan. And I was praying, and Lord, and Jerry said, honey, we don't have the money, and I can't get off work. So there was two things, so I started praying. And one day, we didn't have the cell phone back then. I mean, you got to remember, we're in our 70s, okay? We didn't have those things. I couldn't text him and say, Jerry, I got this money in the mail. I had to wait till he got home. But when he got home, I said, honey, look at this envelope. Cash all this money to go to Guthrie. And he said, well, praise the Lord. But he goes, now I got to get off work. I said, well, if God does this, you'll get off work. So he went and told his boss, we need to go to this camp meeting. He didn't like it at first, but he said, my wife was praying and she got all this money. Oh, your daddy probably sent it to you. He said, no, it wasn't my daddy. He asked his daddy, what's his daddy? No. And he says, go, Jerry, just go. So we went, and you know, we got so much encouragement. That's where we met Brother Souders at Guthrie camp meeting. And Brother Souders came up to us. He said, you children, you know Brother Souders? Some of you know. He said, you children, we were children back then, you know, we were young. And he said, would you like to get on the tape line in Oklahoma City to encourage you? I said, oh, yes, I love it. And so they send us maybe 4 tapes in this little brown paper, and we'd listen to them, and then we'd wrap and send it to the next person. And we'd done that until we moved to Guthrie. And we moved to Oklahoma City first with Sister Roberta and Brother Ed and Brother Souders, Sister Souders. That was a nice experience to be with them. Then we went on to Guthrie, and we've been there ever since. And you know, I praise God. I believe the saints in Guthrie love me, and I love them. And I tell you what, you can stay in a congregation. You don't have to go here and there and yonder. You don't have to do that. You can forgive one another. You can love one another. There's been some hard things sometimes we've had to forgive. But you know what? God said there's two things that'll keep you from heaven. Is one is if you don't forgive your brother or sister. He said, if you don't forgive others, I will not forgive you. And I believe it's unconditional. I believe the person don't have to ask your forgiveness. I believe when the enemy brings that up in your mind, you can just say, I forgive, I forgive. You don't have to hang on to letters or texts or anything. Destroy them. I remember a lady that kept this letter from somebody for years that was a bad letter. She kept it for years. And she said she forgave him. But I said, well, why you got that letter? Throw it in the trash can. That's where it belongs. Get it out of your life, saints. Be free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And the other one is blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. This is what I'm thinking it means. It means you're saved and you're sanctified with the Holy Ghost. And you backslide. Now, if you backslide, you get back to God. But if you backslide and talk about the Holy Ghost, blaspheme the Holy Ghost, say there was nothing to it, stuff like that, you know, people could do that. There's danger that you'll never be forgiven again. Only two things. So how important it is, dear saints, this morning, we may not have trouble with that, but we may have trouble forgiving one another. You got to forgive one another. You got to love one another. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, love your sister, love your brother. It's worth it to get to heaven. Don't be free from that. Don't hold grudges. Don't hold bitterness. Don't hold malice and all this. Like the brother was preaching last night, be proactive. Be proactive. And I believe another thing he brought out about health. You know, when I had my heart attack, I had a heart attack way back in the 80s. A long time ago, right? Not 40 years. The Lord healed me. Praise the Lord. It wasn't, I never went to the doctor, and I'm not boasting in that. Sometimes, you know, I'm not. It was God that gave me the strength to trust him. But Brother Carl was our pastor then, finally, and I'm not glorifying Brother Carl, but God used him. He gives pastors a special calling and a prayer that they can pray for their congregation, and the Lord works. And you want to keep, you know what I mean? So I was laying on the couch. It had been about a month, and I was so weak. And I was just laying. I thought, well, I told Jerry. He stayed home with it. And girls went to church. I said, Jerry, I think I am going to die because I'm trying to have faith, but I said it doesn't leave, and it's been a month. And my heart and the pain going down my left arm, and I said, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And I was kind of saying bye to Jerry. In walked Brother Carl and Sister Rebecca, and I said, you got to pray for me because I praying the best I can, but I ain't got much strength. He started praying. He said, in the name of Jesus, and I had pain. And he said, in the name of Jesus, run the devil out of this house and down the road. You know how Brother Carl is. And heal Sister Martian. Take this pain away and heal her heart. And you know what happened? I was healed. I can testify that I've never had a pain since that day. And some of the saints remember, they say, Sister Marsh, didn't you have a heart attack years ago? I said, uh-huh, I did. Oh, his Lord healed you, didn't he? Praise God, I'm not giving the glory for me. It's the Lord. We're supposed to testify about these things. How are people going to have faith if we don't tell it? He said, go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it everywhere. And I'm going to tell you a story that came to me. It says, cast your bread upon the water. Sometimes the Lord will give me that song before I preach or something to encourage me. And he also gives me the song, I shall not be idle. And I told my daughter, I said, it happens all the time. I have this precious relationship with the Lord. And sometimes I just need a little boost, you know, little encouragement. And so I say, Lord, will you give me a song that, am I supposed to preach it, or am I supposed to get up? Give me something. please, God, give me something. I want to be in order. I want to be in order. I want to do the right thing. And I open, I shall not be idle. I said, okay, that's enough. That's good for me. And I said, it happens all the time. And I told one of my daughters that, and she says, oh, Mama. She said, you got it marked in that song book. I said, honey, no, because it's different song books. It could be the one at Monarch. It could be the one at Guthrie. It could be the one in California. It could be the one at home. I ain't got it marked. The Lord opens and talks to me. I got a relationship with him. This is what Brother Paul was trying to bring out. We can go beyond just being saved and sanctified. We can get close to the Lord. Didn't John the Beloved get close to the Lord? Peter was said, why don't you ask God, Jesus, who's going to betray you, us? You know, who it is. Because Peter figured he would tell John. We can get as close to the Lord as we want to. And I'll tell you, I'm going to give another experience. But first I got to tell, cast the bread upon the water. Jerry and I went on this cruise. And I think it was to Hawaii. But I booked it, and I didn't realize that I was booking it during Easter. And I felt so bad. I'm on the ship, and I said, I should be home. I love Easter. I love to be there. I love to hear about the resurrection. I love to be with the saints on Easter. Lord, forgive me. Why am I on this boat on Easter? Well, I found out. I'm giving all the glory. I'm just telling you, saints, I'm giving all the glory. We get the paper in our room, and it says, they're going to have an Easter service. I said, Jerry, I know it's sectism, but I said, do you think maybe we could just go and sit, you know, sit towards the door, and if it starts getting weird or something, you know, we'll leave. But I said, I want to worship the Lord today. It's Easter. I said, you think it would be okay? And he says, yeah, honey, it'll be okay. So I started getting ready, and I got my Bible, and the Lord says, get some scriptures about the resurrection. You're going to preach. And I go, oh, me? To the ship people? And the Lord said, get some scriptures. I hurried and got me a few scriptures, you know. I had no plans at all. So I get there. Now I ask the one that's leading the service. It was a lady and her husband. And they have a Bible group on the ship. And so I never had met her. I went up and I introduced myself. I said, I know you don't know me. I said, but I'm a woman minister and I assist my pastor at home. And I... been preaching so many years, and I've been saved for many years, and I said, I know you don't know me, but if you'll trust me, I feel like God wants me to share some gospel this morning for 10 or 15 minutes. She said, absolutely. What's your name? I said, Marcia. So when I call Marcia, you come down here. Oh, and I'm shaking, and I'm saying, Lord. Actually, I wasn't shaking that much. I don't know what happened. God just, he just took it away. Give me not fear. There was around... They said the room that they got a hold of, they were going to try to put them in this little small room. But they got a bigger room. It's about 400 people or more. They knew how that fit in this room. The room was full. It was 400 plus. There was people out in the doorway looking in. So little old Marcia, I did, Lord, I can't do this without me, the Lord. You know, they're not the saints, but they're God's creation, people. They're God's creation. They're souls that need to be saved. You know what I mean? And so I got up and I started telling how I got saved and about the resurrection. And I preached as inspired as I could for 15 minutes. And when I got done, they were just, you could feel the love coming to me. And the love. And I told him, I said, you know, usually I'm at home with my family for Easter and in my own church, you know. But I said, for some reason, God has let me be with you today. And I want you to know that I love you. I love every one of you. And Jesus can save you from sin. He can save your soul. There's been crying there. A man got saved. And when I went outside, first I didn't do it. And the Lord said, get out there. And, you know, like the pastors do and preachers do, get out there and greet the people as they're coming out. So I was standing there and I was trying to greet them and they were talking to me. And this one, tears was just flowing down her face. And I know I didn't have much time. I said, what is your name? She said, Kathy. I said, where are you from? She goes, New York. She said, oh, I know. You might not know why you were here today. But she said, she goes, I know why you were here. That message touched my soul. And I'm telling you, saints, I pray for Kathy today. And I don't know her last name. I didn't have time to get her phone number. But you know what? God will have you literally cast your bread upon the water. 4 times I preached on cruise ships. And I'm not saying this for my glory. I'm testifying to you that God will use you wherever you're at. You got to be like a minute man or a minute woman. You got to be available. But like there was preaching here in the last few, I've listened to some Zoom when we're gone, that, you know, that Jesus wants us to be up to date and on our experience so he can use us anytime. Right? Pray and read. Pray and read. Praise God. St. John. St. John 3 and 17. Praise the Lord. We can be free from sin and stay free from sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world would be saved. Well, you say, well, he does condemn sin, but he's not. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. He's not here to just cut us off if we make a mistake. He loves us. He didn't come here to condemn people and send them away. What did he say at the woman? He said, go and sin no more. What did he do with the woman at the well? You know, he wants to help people. That's what he wants to put in us. A love. I was on the airplane one day. And sometimes I really believe that God, maybe not always, but a lot, he puts you for the person he wants you to be by. There's a young girl, and she had a nose ring in her ear. I mean, no, in her ear, her nose. She had a nose ring. And I started talking to her, and I don't push religion on it, but they start bringing up things, asking me questions. I'm going to talk. So I was just talking about the Lord and talking to her, and all of a sudden she looks at me real strange. She takes that nose ring out, pulls it out, and the blood starts pouring from her nose. And I'm getting these Kleenex. And I'm like, honey, what's the matter? I never said nothing about her nose. I noticed it, but I thought, I'm going to love that woman. I'm going to treat her good. I'm going to preach the gospel to her. And I am not worrying about her nose ring. And she took it off, and I had said a word. And she said, I don't need this thing anymore. Praise the Lord! Be lights in the world. Teach people you can live free from sin. Yes, praise the Lord. You can do that. So God, Romans 6 and 23, it says here, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let's read up a little bit in 22. But now being made free from sin, you don't sin anymore. If you do, you have an advocate with the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he'll forgive you. But you got to quit the sinning business. No sin. No drinking beer. No drinking liquor. Someone told me, said, well, Jesus turned the water into wine. Well, I'll tell you what. You can believe it was fermented if you want to. I don't. So you can talk to me if you don't believe it. You believe what you want. I just don't believe that the Lord would make wine for people to get drunk. I just don't. And so that's my feeling. But some people justify that and say, well, I can drink a little bit. And I can drink wine. And I can drink it. And they're drinking Christians. That's what they say they are. Drinking Christians. Shame on the devil. We're not going to be drinking Christians. Only drink of the water of life. Only drink juice. I say only. But, you know, drink good stuff for yourself. You don't need that stuff. You don't need what stirs in the cup. He talks in the Bible about drunkenness. I don't even know why I'm saying all this. I don't know anybody around here drinking. But, you know, but the saints, like we heard, we don't drink. We don't smoke. We're not tempted with those things. We're not tempted with bad things, are we? We wouldn't drink a beer. I know someone, they went out in sectism and thought they'd leave the saints, and they ran into the Sunday school teacher. The Sunday school teacher was drinking a beer. And they said, I'm done with that church. I ain't going back there no more. I tell you what, saints aren't that kind of people. You're not going to run into them doing things like that. Never. I don't care if you're across the world. I don't care if you're on a cruise ship. You live right. You live right. You don't do nothing wrong. My husband and I, most of the time when we go, we sit on the balcony and look at the ocean. My husband has a love for water, and he'll sit there and look at the ocean for hours. And I do too, and I have my Bible and my songbook, and I'm ready to do. And this one lady came up to me, and she says, Marcia, I want to have a talk with you. She says, if you're ever on a cruise ship again, you go, you preach. She told me that after I preached. She says, I'm commissioning you to do it. And I go, oh, okay. Whatever the Lord wants, you know. I don't know where I'll be. I don't know. But I am at the whatever the Lord wants. But you know what it says here? Being made free from sin, ye become servants to God. If you're not living for God, you're a servant of the devil. And you say, oh, I don't like the devil. I hate the devil. I don't have nothing to do with him. Well, if you're not a servant of God, then you're a servant of the devil. Right? You only can be two things, one thing at a time, right? So you don't want to be done with the devil. You want to be done with his meanness and his hard taskmaster. He told me when I was a young girl, before I met Jerry, I was walking through the hallway. I told you I was searching for the right church. He said to me, you're going to go to hell and there's nothing you can do about it. What the devil told me. And I said, oh, I sure hope not, Lord. I started praying to the Lord. Do you know, as a little girl, if I'd done something wrong, I would ask Jesus to forgive me. When I was a teenager, I wasn't even saved. And I say a bad word with my friends, and I said, God, that was a bad word. And they didn't know, but I'm praying in my heart, please forgive me, Jesus. Please forgive me for doing that. I always had a tender heart. I wanted to do the right thing. But I had to break the chains of sin. And when Jesus saved me, it was so glorious. He saved me from sin, and I never want to go back and sin, never. And even that day when the devil tried to tempt me, he was just telling me lies. I never had desire to go back and sin, never. And I know Jesus had his hand on me that day. There's something about it. I don't know. It's just something about that when God saves you, he keeps his hand on you. Unless you're just determined to leave him, and he'll let you go. But he said he left the 99 and went after that one that was lost. And so even if you do that, he'll follow you. He loves you. And I just want you to know today that Jesus can help you. Let's turn over to Philippians 1 and 6. Praise the Lord for freedom. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Saints, I can only say that the scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You really want to go to heaven. If I asked everybody to raise your hand, probably maybe all of us would raise our hand. We want to go to heaven. But you know you're going to have to work at your own salvation. He gives it to you. But you got to work at it. Like the brother said, you got to be proactive. You got to go after God. You got to seek God. You got to talk. You got to pray. And I've talked to some young people sometimes, and they say, well, I don't read and pray like I should. You got to read and pray. You can't just say, I'm doing this on my own. You have to seek the Lord. You have to spend time with God. Alone with God, the world forbidden. Alone with him. Oh, blessed retreat. You must pray and read if you want to stay saved. It's something unconditional. You just got to, you need to do it, and you need to take pleasure in doing it. Take pleasure in doing it. You know, I want to tell you about another thing. Not very long ago, we lost our dear sister Janine and Guthrie. She was my special friend. And when years ago, for years, she would go with me to sister retreats. She would go to me with camp meetings when my husband was working, couldn't go. She would go with me. She was like a little gospel worker. I'm telling you, she wasn't a minister, but Janine was a little gospel worker. And I tell you what, I miss her so much. I'll miss her the rest of my life. But Janine was the sweetest soul. I'm telling you, saints, she would call my mother. My mother's 92. She would call her and sing to her because Janine had a beautiful voice. She was a special singer. You know, she would lead songs at Guthrie. And so sometimes if I wanted to sing a song, I'd have to sing it with Janine because I figured, you know, she'll do so good that I'll kind of be in the background. I can Because that wasn't my calling, but I still love to sing. But you know, when she died that day, and she asked me to do the obituary, and I thought, well, how can I do it without crying? But I asked God to help me. I said, Lord, take the tears away for this time so I can do it. I want to do the best I can for her. And I did. That night, I said, Lord, I don't know if I should ask you this, but I really would like to talk to Janine in a dream. I know she went to heaven. I know she's okay, but I just would like to see Janine. I said, now, Lord, if I'm asking too much, then sorry about that. You think I'm asking too much. But if I'm not asking too much, have her come to me in a dream tonight. That was the day of her funeral. She came to me. Janine came to me, and I said, Janine, did you want to go to heaven? And she said, yes. I said, are you happy? And she put her hands out like this. She goes, oh, it's so wonderful. But the way she said it, like wonderful wasn't the word. God gave me that dream. I tell you what, you can ask. It says ask that your joy may be full. We can go beyond the ordinary. Because you know what? That increases our faith. To go beyond the ordinary. So anyway, I wanted to share that a little bit with you. It says here, Romans 5:5-8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You know what? He's talking about without strength. We didn't have strength to be saved. We didn't have strength to be free from sin. We was in a pitiful condition. Like the brother said the other night in her song, we were in a fix, a bad fix. But he said, but he died for you. He died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one would die. Man will die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When I was a sinner, when I was a young girl, and I wasn't righteous, I wasn't. We were all sin and come short of the glory of God. I needed salvation. No matter how maybe good I was to a certain point, I needed salvation. You needed it. But it says here, for much then now justified by his blood. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled up to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Praise God. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Praise God for the atonement. Praise God that we can live free from sin. He is mighty to save, like the song says. Mighty to save, mighty to keep. I also came across this song. I don't have all the words right now. Let's see, maybe I do. But it says, why me, Lord? That's how I feel sometimes. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted, so help me, Jesus. This is a sinner. I know what I am. Now that I know I needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hands. Try me, Lord. If you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you, maybe, Lord, I could show someone else what I went through myself on my way back to you. But I was thinking, help me, Lord. You know, I believe the true saints of God have a lot of compassion for sinners. And all they want to do is help them to get saved and live free from sin. You know, that's what the Lord, he wants you to stay free from sin. If you, there's a sin of omission, and I think a sin of omission would be to continually go, not read and pray, drifting away from Jesus. You know, any of us could drift away from Jesus if we don't keep our experiences up date with God, right? If we let bitterness get in our heart, anything, we don't want to do that. Heaven will be worth it all. Heaven will be worth it all, dear ones. Oh, I thank the Lord today for salvation. I thank him so much. You know, there's scripture I'll leave with you. It says, 5 of Galatians 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, there's a lot more you could preach on this subject, but there's a lot of preachers here, so that's what we're meeting. But you know what? If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So to walk in the Spirit is saved, baptized, sanctified, and keep walking with the Lord day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. If something comes along, the devil brings a storm in your life, you can get over it. You can get by God's blood, right? By Jesus' blood. You can be victorious. Pray for me. I want to make it to heaven. I thank the Lord this morning so much from my heart. I'm telling you, saying so much from my heart, that he delivered me from sin when I was a young girl, and he's kept me safe from sin all these years. It is not me. It is not me. Totally. I've yielded to him. That's me. But I have given my life to the Lord, and his blood is so powerful that he frees us from sin, and we are kept by the power of God. If there's anything in your life that you need victory over, Jesus' blood can give that to you.